Welcome to Corbin Hilty's short story collection, From the Vault. All stories contain mature content. Listener discretion is advised. Episode 1, A Murder on Elm Street. "Don't be such a scaredy cat, Fred," he called, pushing me towards the abandoned house. The tall grass and choked sidewalk made the house seem like something out of one of those Saw movies. "If you're so brave, why don't you do it?" I yelled back, trying to justify why I shouldn't have to go. The house had been free of inhabitants for nearly a decade. The last people to live there just disappeared. They had lived there for less than a year. The house used to be an urban legend amongst the kids. Now it was more of a proving ground, a place where kids entered but adults left. "I've already done it," Nate screamed back, pushing me harder. I didn't believe him for a second. Nate was always lying about one thing or another. Last summer, it had been about making out with Jenna Williams, who just so happened to be the hottest girl in the tiny little town we called home. Jenna ended up socking Nate right in the face. I can honestly say that made my summer. "When? Was it right before you grabbed Jenna's tits?" I smiled as I hollered it. "Was it worth a hit to the head with the rock?" "Probably not, but it was pretty funny." I fell to the ground, feeling the back of my head grow sticky. Tears were trying to commit suicide by jumping out of my eyes. They weren't successful. The grass cushioned my fall somewhat, but I still felt the concrete tear at my exposed knees. "What the hell, Nate?" I marveled myself with the amount of disbelief in my voice. I had known that the blow was going to come sooner or later. Through blurred eyes, I saw Nate lean down, grab me by the front of the shirt, and hoist me up. "I did grab them!" Even though I was only a few inches away from Nate, he still felt that it was pertinent to yell at me. "Now if you want to be in the gang, you have to pass the test." His voice lowered, and yet the anger remained. I blinked away the fuzziness and replied, "What exactly is the test?" "Well, I'm glad you asked," Nate smirked. He threw me down to the ground and waited for me to get up, which I was slow to do given the blow that I had just undertaken. I took my good, sweet time getting back to my feet. This put Nate even further on edge and made me a bit happier. "In order to get into my gang, you have to go into the house, into the master bedroom where the couple were murdered." He put emphasis on "my" and "murdered." He was such a dick. If he couldn't have control, then no one could. "The couple from last year? I thought they'd just disappeared." I could hear the concern creeping up in my throat as I spoke the words. Nate shook his head vigorously and looked up at the rotting corpse of a house. And as if to accentuate his point, a shutter fell off one of the upper story windows. "The couple from 3 months ago." I really wished that he would just get on with the task that I need to complete instead of going for a frickin' Oscar. "That's bullshit and you know it. There's been no squatters in that place since 2009. I was pretty sure that Nate was just pulling my leg, and yet something deep inside of me said that he wasn't. Somehow he always knew of these secret crimes that went on in our small town. "Is it, Fred?" Once again, Nate was successful in planting the seed of fear within me. I fall for it every damn time. I stared back at him. His eyes were cold, almost daring in their glare. Mind racing, I growled back defiantly, "Yes, it is." Nate smirked and chuckled a little. He then ran a hand through his closely cropped hair. Sadism had crawled up Nate's leg and found its purchase in his conscience. It manifested itself through his voice. "Well, I guess we'll find out." A wide grin panned itself out across Nate's face. It was unlike any expression I had seen on him before. My gut turned on its head in an instant. "This kid is a fucking lunatic," I thought to myself. Lately, more than ever, I found myself questioning our friendship. Time and time again, I couldn't come up with a solid reason of why I was even remotely associated with him. "Let's get this over with so I can get away from him," I thought to myself. "Get to the point, Nate," I spoke through gritted teeth. Clearly, he could see that I was losing my patience with him. His cold eyes just locked on me. It was almost as if he was just deciding to kill me on the spot. Stop making stuff up, Fred, I told myself. After all, I didn't have any proof that the kid was a killer. Nate looked back at the house and started to talk again. In the master bedroom is a couple who were killed while they were fucking. The bitch had some nice tits. Not anymore. You'll see what I mean. Anyway, I want you to go and bring me back one of their fingers. Nate smiled at my expression, which took me a full 2 minutes to realize that my mouth was hanging agape. A cold brick dropped from the sky and landed right in the bottom of my stomach. Just how in the hell did he know all these details? Was he watching the couple as they expressed their affection for each other? The thought sent a shudder up my spine. My instincts told me to run away immediately. If he was a psycho, I had to get proof. I needed to gain the upper hand. I tried to reply, but my mouth worked wordlessly. It took a while, but I was able to find my voice and was able to respond to his demands. Fine. How will I get the finger? He laughed and reached into the tall grass. He came up with a pair of thick, shiny steel scissors. He worked the scissors with ease. Open. Close. Open. Close. With these, of course. Now go. He shoved the loop handles into my stomach, and I had half a mind to just stab him right then and there. Then you'd be the one in trouble, Freddy boy, I thought, dreading what came next. Fine, I'll do it. But I'm telling you, there's nothing up there, though. I took the scissors and began to wade through the waist-high grass. I stepped onto the front porch and felt the wood bow under my weight. The damp wood wouldn't last long if I stayed here. I approached the door when Nate hollered after me. No turning back now, Fred. It's all or nothing. The master bedroom is upstairs. Don't get lost. His voice seemed deeper than before. It truly frightened me. I didn't intend to go back to him anyway. I just had to get proof and run away. There was no shame in that. I had to get this freak into a loony bin where he belonged. I stepped forth and reached for the doorknob. It was warm to the touch, and surprisingly, it turned with ease. I pushed the door forward and was greeted by the stench of mildew and spoiled food. I would have lost my lunch had I eaten, but luckily I forgot it that day. Behind me, I could hear Nate's maniacal laughter, and that was all the motivation that I needed to get moving. I pressed forward, stepping into the dark, dust-ridden house. I heard the door swing shut behind me. The only light that penetrated the house was leaking in through grime-covered windows. Pale patches of light illuminated the thick layers of dust which coated everything. Nate said the bodies were upstairs in the master bedroom, I thought to myself. Silently, I searched the house, trying to disprove what Nate claimed to be true. Dust had already settled in the disturbed areas, which told me that the people weren't here recently. I looked around at the paintings which covered the walls. Some of them had fallen down in the years of neglect since the original owner had died. Others hung crookedly, exposing the flesh-colored Victorian wallpaper beneath. A pathetic-looking chandelier hung from the ceiling. The original mount had given up, now leaving the fixture to hang by wires. This place had once been quite extravagant, I thought to myself, and for an instant, I pictured the place as it once had been. The chandelier hung resiliently, shedding light upon the house. The painting's frames were all polished, and their contents were filled with vibrant colors. A well-polished oak table sat in the middle of the room, holding the makings of a massive feast. I marveled at the sight until my eyes burnt. I blinked, and everything fell apart. Returning to the task at hand, I began to follow the footsteps of the visitors before me. Each step forward brought forth a new groan from the ancient house. The path led around a corridor, where a stairwell still miraculously stood intact. My gaze fell upon an item halfway up the stairwell. I stared in disbelief. Surely it can't be, I thought to myself, fear starting to carve its way into my heart. I started to trek up the stairs slowly, making sure that the wood could support my weight. Once I got close enough, I reached out for the object. I picked it up and blew the dust off of it. It was a woman's high heel shoe. My heart sank. Each step I took led me closer to believe what Nate said. I had to know the truth. so I pressed on. At the top of the stairs was another heel. This was closely followed by a collared shirt, dress shoes, and undergarments. They were making out on the way up the stairs, I concluded. It wasn't hard to deduct from the obvious line of discarded clothes. The upstairs was a narrow hallway, maybe 4 foot wide by 20 foot long. It was hard to tell from a quick estimation. One thing that startled me, though, was the lack of decoration that seemed to plague the rest of the house. The stench that had previously been a minor inconvenience now grew to a monumental level. Nevertheless, I pressed onward. My heart felt like it was going to fly right out of my chest. The closer I seemed to get to the master suite, the harder it seemed to pound. The moment of truth was upon me. The door to the master bedroom was slightly open, allowing for a thin sliver of light to stab through the darkness. My trembling hand pushed the door open a bit more, and the sliver turned into a wedge. My breath escaped from me as a decrepit hand lay in the light's path. A group of rats were dining on the remains of the hand. They must have heard me approach because they scattered away. One of the larger rats remained and tore off a finger and ran away with it. I chuckled as a morbid realization passed through my mind. He's taking some home for the family. Taking a deep breath, I manned up and pushed the door all the way open. Just as Nate had said, there are two lovers struck down in their most intimate moment. I felt a pang of guilt for intruding upon their tomb. Guilt was only a temporary reaction, though. Sorrow swiftly replaced it. These romantics never received a proper burial. That would change soon, though. Of that, I was sure.